Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein with you for today. It seems like we've been putting a lot of energy into our show today, trying to transition out of winter, even though it's snowing out, and push ahead towards spring. Let's go a step further. Let's go all the way to summer, spring and into summer, and look forward to some fly fishing, and with help from Brad Elfer, who's going to be tonight's Fireside Lecture presenter. Brad, are you on the line?
I am, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great, too.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit. You're the owner of Alaska Fly Fishing Goods. I think many of us have been to your shop and tried to outfit ourselves and, you know, get that zen going with that nice, that beautiful look that we want to have in our casting. But tell me a little bit about what you're going to be concentrating on tonight. I know it's a little bit about everything from cutthroat to kings.
Yeah. No, we're going to, take a jump into spring and summer, like you said, and kind of walk through the seasons of fly fishing kind of chronologically. We'll start off with more or less what's going on in the springtime around Juneau and where the fish in general like to be, different species, and kind of walk ourselves all the way through the summer and into fall. And it's one of those topics that it makes sense after a while when you've done it, but it can be really confusing at first because the fish around here, they move around so much that it can be a little hard to keep a beat on them. So we're going to cover a bunch of that tonight.
Well, I like the fact that you're also concentrating on like the road system itself. Like you can drive to these spots and with a small hike go and be in the spot to go fly fishing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Juneau has one of the most amazing road systems in all of Southeast in terms of being able to access just all kinds of different fly fishing. And it's all like, you know, kind of compact into this little area right up against the mountains, you know, everything from little alpine lakes to rivers down to the estuaries and out on the beaches. And like you said, it's all something you can drive to. So it's very accessible and pretty user-friendly.
Are there areas that you, I mean, I think everyone here obviously knows Sheep Creek or knows, you know, even Gastineau Channel and the different sections on Gastineau Channel to go fly fishing, especially when silvers are running and that kind of thing. But are there species of fish and areas that you get really excited talking to people about because you feel like they're a little bit unknown?
Yeah, there's a couple of those. And one is just when we get into the heat of the summer, when there's pinks and chums all over in the creeks, which is usually like mid-July going into August, all these little creeks, you know, like Montana Creek and Cowie Creek and Fish Creek, they just load up with all the dollies and cutthroat following them in there. And you can, you know, more or less fish from the headwaters all the way down to the intertidal. And it gets overlooked a lot. And it's really uncrowded fishing and really fun, and there's lots of activity that you're hiking around doing. So that's one. And the other one I'll mention
We'll just stop there, because so you're saying that when the yeah, it's exciting to think about. So when you're saying that when the is it that the dollies and cutthroat are kind of getting forced up river a little bit by all this influx of the salmon species? Or is it more breeding, or more about that kind of thing? Or
it's more about the meal ticket.
Oh.
The dollies and the cutthroat are looking for something to eat, and they know those salmon are all going to start spawning.
I got you.
And yeah, so I should have mentioned that, but they'll be typically sitting, you know, 5-6 feet behind a whole bunch of spawning salmon, just waiting for some of those eggs that don't get buried in the gravel to come rolling down the creek. And so we'll target them that way.
So when you're fly fishing for them, what are you trying to emulate? Are you trying to emulate a fly on the top of the water, or are you trying to look like an egg, or what are the fish looking for?
Well, by and large, what they want to see is an egg, and they want to see one that's the same size and the same color as what's actually in the water, and they can get super fussy about that. It is kind of amazing, but they'll also take little, you know, other flies that are brightly colored that must just somehow or another kind of trigger that attack response in them.
Is there like a fly, you know, a well-known fly you would recommend for someone that maybe is going to go try to see if they can snag one, get one of those cutthroat or dollies?
Gosh, there's so many, but you know, one is called a Battle Creek Special. There's
okay.
a river up north called the Battle Creek. It's a little tributary up in Bristol Bay, and they've developed this fly up there a long time ago, and that's just a great fly around Juneau.
Very cool. Okay, and you were going to get into another area as well.
Yeah, and this is one that has been pretty exciting because it's really getting pushed by some of the younger fly anglers in this town, which are often in high school. The boys and the girls and maybe early college have gotten really into these just big hikes up into the Alpine to catch, you know, quite small cutthroat and quite small dollies that are trying to make a living up in these little teeny lakes that are kind of dotted around up there. And, you know, it's much more than catching a trophy fish. It's more like, I'm going to see if I can catch a fish that's, you know, way the heck out there. And, you know, it might be going up to Salmon Creek Reservoir, you know, which is a pretty good hoof to get up there or, you know, places like that. And they're looking on all the Google Earth maps to see what they can find. And it's a pretty cool thing they're doing.
That's a really cool thing. I had no idea that was something that was kind of happening, almost like what's the furthest or highest altitude dolly you can find or that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, these are, you know, and many, many years ago, like over 100 years ago, you know, the original, they did a tremendous amount of stocking of fish around Juneau, and they stocked eastern brook trout, of all things. And in certain lakes where they can't get out and they've been in there forever, they're still eastern brook trout around Juneau, which are not native. So that's kind of a feather in your cap if you can go catch one of those.
Wow, that's really interesting. But they've never been – they've just – you know, they're not exactly invasive. They were stocked, but they haven't spread or – they haven't displaced other species, or have they?
Well, you know, I don't know if they interbred with the dollies, perhaps. I'm not, you know, not being a biologist, I'm not 100% sure. But the fact that they've been able to stay in there for that long,
right,
and they're not very big, you know, I mean, they're typically, you know, maybe 8 or 9 inches long, so they're little, but just one of those fun things to do that's a little different than what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, a little weirdo mutant eastern trout here in our lakes. That's really cool. What are some of the what are some of the real prize, you know, if you could say among the fly fishers in the Juneau area, here's the holy grail thing that they're looking for? What would that be? Is that steelhead or what kind of, you know, what would that be?
Yeah, that's spring steelhead. That's a good one. That's they're kind of the unicorn of the fish around here.
Yeah.
There's not a lot around right on the Juneau road system, but there are some. And I mean, even historically, I think a lot of these creeks had runs of, you know, 50 or 100 fish, and that's all there ever were.
It's interesting. I caught one on a lure last year, and I had no idea what it was. You know, so I just released it. I just was like, well, I'm not going to keep this. I don't know quite what it is. It's not quite a king. It's not quite a silver. I was out fishing for silver early, and just got one on a lure, but it was a beautiful, beautiful fish with the speckled back, and you know, it just was such a interesting, unique, beautiful fish to catch. It was really exciting to catch that, not knowing exactly what I had at first.
Yeah, they take you by surprise because it's that time of the season when there really isn't any other salmonid in the rivers. So when you catch something, you know, and you're not expecting it, if it's springtime, it's probably a steelhead. So I'm glad you released it.
I know. I think that's a good, you know, that's always a good thing. I can always get another salmon, but it was, I'm glad I did too. Actually, you know, in retrospect, I'm glad I do, because I came close to thinking, well, it looks close enough, and you know, but I just decided to let it go. But I've always heard that's sort of a code among fly fishers when they catch the steelheads, that the steelheads are really to be, you know, that's kind of a code of honor a little bit among fly fishers in Juneau.
Yeah, and it really is all over Alaska. It's, you know, they're a pretty rare fish, and actually the regulations around here stipulate that you do have to release them on the road system because there's so few of them around.
But I'm glad I did yes.
Yeah, exactly. I did. We'll keep you on the good side of the law.
Okay, good. I stumbled into the right thing to do. Well, that's great. Yeah, that's a spring steelhead run. And then what are some of the, I'm sure it's well known, but what are some of the creeks where you're going to have some success there? And then what are some of the lures you would use for it, or what are some flies you would use?
Well, yeah, and what's interesting with the flies there, you know, we just talked about how the dollies like to eat something that actually looks like food. You know, anytime you're fly fishing for salmon or steelhead, you're fly fishing for they're not eating per se when they're in the creek. So you're just trying to irritate them with something that's brightly colored. So, you know, it might be a hot pink colored fly and something like that that looks like nothing in nature, but it just gets them angry and they swat at it.
Right. They're like, what is that thing? I'm going to eat it. Well, Brad, we've been this is typical. I'm sure you get this all the time. You run into someone who's into this and they just start quizzing you immediately about where's the place to go and what are you using to catch them. But you're going to be concentrating on kind of the overall fly fishing environment in Juneau. And how to get out to the different road systems. Anything else you want to tell us about what you're going to cover tonight during the fireside lecture?
Yeah, we're just, you know, after we kind of walk through it, then I'm going to point folks towards some of the resources, mostly that are online, that they can use to help them make sense of all this information so that they don't have to be wildly taking notes there and figure out, you know, so that during the season they can be more successful if they want to go out and give fly fishing a try. So I'll point them towards some resources, and then hopefully at the end we'll have 15 minutes or so to take questions from people. And as usual, you know, it's in person, but it's also being streamed as well. So if you're at home tonight, you can listen to it too.
Yeah, it's at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center Facebook page, and it starts at 7 o'clock. And so if you can't go in person, although it's always kind of most fun to go in person, if you want to tune in online, you can do that as well through the Facebook page. And Brad, thanks so much, man. Brad Elfers, owner of the Alaska Fly Fishing Goods. Thanks for being here with us and giving us a bit of a preview of your fireside lecture. And I'm sure you're going to have a great turnout. Thanks so much.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.